I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. There were two types of people at last night's free speech rally on the steps of City Hall. The kind of people who scream at little babies and the kind of people who don't. Plus, the FBI announces it is launching a probe into targeted violence against Seattle Christians. And the head of Washington's public school system said this.
You know, they have this false sense that kids are in the wrong locker rooms, which just does not happen.
The problem is we have the receipts. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. That's how this show is possible. And right now we have an awesome promo going on. If you use the promo code 300, that's the number 300, at patreon.com/undivided, you can get 30% off an entire year of Undivided. Hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. It was a fantastic evening at City Hall. I will admit I was very worried going into the Christian free speech gathering yesterday just because of what had led up to it. Of course, the targeted attack by Antifa on Christians who were peacefully worshiping and singing and dancing on Capitol Hill over the weekend, the unhinged response to that from politicians in the media that blamed those Christians, despite the fact they had done nothing wrong, and we have something called free speech in this country. So it all felt like it was leading up to a violent confrontation when those Christians decided to take their message to the steps of City Hall to call for Mayor Bruce Harrell to resign. But I will say, when it comes to the Christians, not that this is a surprise, entirely peaceful. And being there, I mean, I don't understand how it could trigger anyone. Look, I get that not everyone is religious. I'm not religious either. I had a great time. I was jamming to the music. I was like, how can these people anger you? And I'll also just say, for the identity obsessed among you, you know, progressives are obsessed with skin color and all these. That was the most diverse crowd I've ever seen at any Seattle protest or gathering ever since I moved here 15 years ago. People of all skin tones, ages, backgrounds. And of course, and it was funny because in comparing it, and I'll talk about the other side in a moment, but they were all like young white people who were like 20 years old. So they were a total monolith. And look, I get it. I mean, I don't know every single person in that crowd last night. I don't know if some of them are right-wing extremists. I don't know if some of them are bigots or anti-LGBTQ, but not an ounce of that. Not an ounce of that was evident. Nobody said anything hateful. Nobody said anything violent. Nobody encouraged violence. Nobody said anything bigoted. Nobody said anything about LGBTQ individuals. In fact, I was probably the only one that mentioned transgender people. And so it's just insane to me. And we'll talk about how the media once again paints that crowd singing and dancing and having a great time, talking about love and compassion. So we'll talk about how the media once again painted them as the enemy. So they're on the steps at City Hall, totally peaceful, doing their thing. And I give a lot of credit to the Seattle Police Department for allowing it to happen in the way it did and really making sure that that group was protected. I think they don't have a choice because they're worried about getting sued. So the city probably told SPD, you will make sure that they are cordoned off and that they can worship peacefully. So you compare that to the unhinged lunatics outside. And it was funny because I've never seen Antifa so dejected. Because I think what happened here, and I talked to a few members of SPD who were in charge of controlling the event, it seems like they put into place some reasonable time and place restrictions, which essentially allowed them to put these fences, these security fences around the area where the Christian group was gathering and control the flow of people in and out. Because usually that's a public space and you can't really do that. So I think that they had an exception based on the violence over the weekend. But Antifa was totally relegated to the outside corners. But they're the ones out there being violent. They're the ones out there spewing hate. And I mean, all measured, we'll get into some of the details, screaming at babies, hurling vulgarities, assaulting people they disagree with, chasing journalists down the street. It couldn't be more night and day. And the idea that anyone with a brain could take the side of the violent extremists outside the event is insane to me. Now, were there peaceful counter-demonstrators? Of course there were. Not every one of them was an unhinged lunatic bent on violence. Some of them stood there peacefully for the entire event, holding their sign, you know, calling the participants fascist, which is stupid. But guess what? I totally think you have a right to do that, as long as you do it peacefully. But you couldn't have a better night and day example of what was happening inside versus what was happening outside. So the big news, of course, that came out during this event yesterday is the White House has directed the FBI to investigate what happened in Seattle over the weekend. A lot of national attention on this right now. Dan Bongino, who's the deputy director of the FBI, posted this during the event. We have asked our team to fully investigate allegations of targeted violence against religious groups at the Seattle concert. Freedom of religion isn't a suggestion. And actually, as we were there, I was in the crowd in the event where the Christians were worshiping, and Pastor Russell Johnson saw that and announced it to the crowd. Here's how they responded.
The FBI has officially opened an investigation into the city of Seattle.
That's how we win, he says. The crowd was totally stoked about it. So the White House is investigating. I don't know to the extent that they can do something about it. You know, the central issue here, and the issue that Pastor Johnson and the Christians had, and the reason I was there in support of them too, is a free speech concern from the government. Look, crazy people are going to do what crazy people are going to do, but you can't have a heckler's veto situation where now the mayor and now a city councilman, Bob Kettle, who I thought was sane, but now even Councilman Bob Kettle, who's supposed to be one of the more moderates, is saying we shouldn't have allowed them a permit there. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's in the heart of the LGBTQ neighborhood or somewhere else in Seattle. If you're saying you're dictating where someone can engage in free speech as the government based on how angry people will get while they're there, then you're violating their rights. And as Dan Bongino said, he said, freedom of religion isn't a suggestion. And I'm sorry also, but you allow the far left to engage in insane behavior and have for like 20 years, and you never come out and say, hey, maybe it was a mistake to let them do that. No, but it was a mistake to let the Christians have a peaceful concert. And you guys know this, I'm belaboring the point. So 8 people arrested. We watched, Nicole was there, watched many of these arrests go down. The SPD put out this statement, 8 arrests during demonstration at City Hall Tuesday, which SPD called a free speech demonstration, which I was like, okay, better than calling it a right-wing extreme, whatever it is. They said officers arrested 8 people, all for assault. No injuries were reported. And then they just characterized it as 2 opposing groups gather along 4th Avenue. Streets around the dueling demonstrations were shut down for several hours, but reopened just before 8 p.m. And I will, again, SPD did a fantastic job. A fantastic job. And they were not having any nonsense. There was a couple instances where, like, Katie Davis Cord, who's an independent journalist, was chased down the street. SPD immediately sent like 20 cops to go help her come back. And they didn't do that just for journalists. They did that for a couple other individuals as well. So as I mentioned, there were several arrests that took place, all of them involving, according to SPD, assaults by individuals. And these were, you know, it was like there was an area where you could get in if you were part of, you wanted to go actually attend the Christian rally, free speech rally. And that's where these Antifa types were gathering to try to block people, to try to get in the way, to shout and scream. I know a couple people were arrested for assaulting our friend Jonathan Cho, which happens quite a bit, I guess. In fact, it almost looked like the SPD was going to try to arrest Cho because he had swung this sort of like monopod for his camera at one of these guys. But they clearly provoked. They went up there and were in his face. And he's sort of like, please, like, leave me alone. Don't get close to me. Yeah, you show SPD the video so that they wouldn't arrest him. So those were a few of the arrests that happened. We're waiting to hear about charges, first appearances. Some of those will happen today. So one of the arrests, I just want to note, happened after our friend Ari was attacked. Not Ari Hoffman, Remember, we had on the detransitioner, Ori. We had Ori on Sundays with subscribers, biological male. I met outside the Riley Gaines event at the campus of the University of Washington, who was, you know, has detransitioned and really believes and wants to now raise awareness for the medicalization of children. Because Ori, you know, had all these procedures done, can never undo them, will never be confident or happy in his body ever again. So I knew Ori was going to show up here and talk about autogynephilia, you know, this idea that some of these men transition to be women because it's sort of a sexual thing for them. So Ori's going around, you know, peacefully, but saying things that the trans activists don't like. I mean, the crazy thing about this, before I play the video of Ori being assaulted, you have these people who are preaching love and tolerance, and they want you to accept them because they feel like their gender is fluid, right? And that's like something to celebrate and accept. And yes, but if you change your gender back, then you're a hateful bigot and you're the enemy. Here's the moment Ori was pushed up against a wall and attacked. I want to find this guy here, by the way, in the dark gray, protecting him. And then look at SPD. Hell yeah, SPD. Hell yes, SPD. And then arrested one of the individuals who was accused of assaulting Ori. Hell yes, SPD, that's what I'm saying. They'd go in there and be like, absolutely not. Like, we're not going to just sit back and watch you assault this person. So surrounded Ori. And we did check on Ori. And Ori, we were hanging around. And I know Nicole was for most of the evening. And Ori was like, okay, I'm all right. I'm all right. Just insane. Now, here's the craziest thing that happened. That for me, it sets up the, like, you need to choose a side. You need to choose a side. So there was a point where the Antifa types and the Trantifa types were getting too aggressive at the entry, where you could go into the peaceful free speech rally. And so cops had sort of blocked off the area, but then those counter protesters came and blocked the path. And there was this family with three children, two toddlers and a little baby, that was trying to get down in that area to get into the worship rally. And these Antifa jackasses, which I can say, were blocking them and like screaming at this mother as she was holding her little baby. Note the black woman there in the car. I didn't talk about her at all. It's a baby. Does that? Who surrounds a mom with a baby? It's just disgusting. Again, I'm going to talk more about that woman, the black woman with the braids and the colorful outfit in a second. So this crowd of horrible human beings will not let this mom and her baby and then her husband's behind her with two toddlers. Won't let them through. Get them out of here. Turn around. Go elsewhere, right? So police have to literally come in and rescue these children. Here's a video. So you see in the background, if you look close, SP grabbing one of the kids, one of the boys, right there. Listen. Listen to their chant. Boys are terrified, absolutely terrified. So you hear what they were chanting? F your kids. F your kids. F your kids. And did you hear what the father was saying back to them? Jesus loves you. Guess which side the politicians and the media took? The side of the people chanting F your kids. Guess which side the media vilified last night? The side with the guy saying Jesus loves you to people who are screaming at his children and his baby. It's wild stuff. I mentioned, and I just want to note, that black woman in that video is her name is Erica Williams, characterizes herself as a faith leader. She was caught on camera assaulting people. She was screaming at me, which actually I was kind of complimented by it. She said, it looks like I have cheek fillers and a weave. And I thought, no, baby, I don't. I don't. But then I saw that video and she's saying, get these babies out of here. But she won't move. She won't move. So she's blocking the path of a mother with children and calls herself a faith leader. Gotcha. You know, probably similar to the faith leaders that Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell is now trotting out there in his own defense. Can we skip ahead to that, Nicole? So this morning, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell, feeling all this pressure, he puts out these statements from prominent Seattle Christian and faith leaders, like a dozen of them, about, oh my gosh, we stand with Mayor Harrell, who spends every day advancing the shared values of love, integrity, and unity. Did you see love, integrity, and unity by the left last night? No, the only love, integrity, and unity you saw is from the Christians that the mayor is vilifying. How dare any Christian pastor come to the mayor's defense? How disgusting is that? How disgusting is that? You have faith leaders who are, this is because they're more concerned. Their politics comes before their values and their religion. Their politics comes first. So if they can vilify the right, people who did nothing wrong, then they're going to do that, even if it means undermining morality and the religion they say they stand for. The mayor, that's desperate. So it's like, oh, don't attack me because I'm the mayor. I'm the city's first biracial and second black mayor. So don't attack me because that's racist. And when that didn't work and when that didn't stick, well, don't attack me because look at all these faith leaders who are sticking up for me. I'm not a bad person after all. Absolutely nuts. So I mentioned which side the media took last night. They didn't learn any lessons over the weekend. They didn't learn any lessons at all. So we already called out the Seattle Times headline from the weekend's rally. Just a couple that I want to show you. So the one over the weekend that was bad, 23 arrests at heated fascist family values protest in Seattle. So that was the one we already criticized them for a couple reasons. Who called them fascists and why would you put that in a headline? And then it doesn't specify who was arrested. So you'll probably think, oh, some fascists, right? Wingers were arrested. So literally on stage, Pastor Russell Johnson is actively calling out the Seattle Times for that headline. When the Seattle Times starts putting out more headlines that are just as bad. Free speech law shielded Seattle anti-LGBTQ plus rally. FBI looks into protest. So read that. First of all, what did they say? Not a word was uttered yesterday from this group that was anti-LGBTQ. Now, they're pro-traditional family values, but they didn't utter one word of hate or vitriol at all towards gay people. Not at all. In fact, there was one pastor who spoke who said his moms are lesbians. His mom's a lesbian. And talked about how much he loves her. And then also FBI looks into protests. Which protests, the Seattle Times? Which protest are they looking into? Can you go back to that, Nicole? This is the other one they put out during the event. After 23 arrests at an extreme right-wing Christian rally Saturday in Seattle, at least four more protesters were detained Tuesday at City Hall. Which protesters, Seattle Times? Not the Christians. And I love how they use it as a quote, extreme right wing, which was Mayor Harrell's characterization, because they want to call them extreme right wing, but they want to be able to put it in quotes to be safe. How nuts is that? The Seattle Times has no shame. And if you dig deeper, lest you think, oh, just catchy headline. No, their reporting was just as bad. Here's an article they put out at the end of the evening. Eight more arrests at dueling protests, this time at Seattle City Hall. In here, again, tell me one thing. They label them all these things as they won't even call them like Christians. It's just far right activists. Literally look into far right activists enmeshed with local church groups stand at odds with a slate of protesters pushing back against the Christian nationalist anti-LGBTQ message. How many buzzwords against the right can you fit into one sentence? Far-right activists enmeshed with local church groups? Christian nationalists? Anti-LGBTQ? Sue them, first of all. Let me just say, everyone there and the groups there should sue the Seattle Times because they have no proof of what they're saying. You know what I saw? I think it was a Como article saying that the group that held the event over the weekend espouses pro-life messages. Yeah, it's a Christian group. They're pro-life. That doesn't make them a hate group. They believe in traditional family values. That doesn't make them a hate group. It doesn't make them extreme right-wing or Christian nationalists. And of course, they point out that Matt Shea was at the event over the weekend, a disgraced former state lawmaker who, by the way, was ousted by members of both parties. And yeah, I would characterize Matt Shea as extreme right-wing, but it wasn't his event. He's one person who showed up, and he's no further to the right than these Antifa lunatics are to the left. Yet they get a free pass. Are they being characterized? Are the counter-protesters being characterized as extreme left-wing? No, of course not. Absolutely insane. I mean, go read the Times thing for yourself. But yeah, they characterize pro-LGBTQ protesters outside. Okay, they were like Antifa terrorists. Were there some pro-LGBTQ protesters outside? Of course, I already said that. If I can use nuance, why can't the Seattle Times? So they made sure to say, and the mayor said that, oh, Antifa infiltrated over the weekend, this pro-LGBTQ group. And I think that's true. I think that there were absolutely peaceful pro-LGBTQ people over the weekend. You see how I can use that nuance? And I can separate them from one another? But for the media and the mayor, man, Matt Shea shows up in a group of 1,000 and now we're all right-wing domestic extremist Christian nationals. These people are unbelievable.
I also like how they mentioned that there was chanting of SPD, which partially you started, right?
Well, no, and they were chanting for SPD. And I was like, and then I spoke and they did it again. I was like, oh, and what, is that a bad thing?
Right. But then look at the picture that they use with this guy. Oh, I have my hands up. And the cops look like they're going after him for no reason or something. They have to make cops look bad, too, in the picture.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Gosh. And then, first of all, also, they lie here in this sentence. It says, in a speech, Pastor Russell Johnson of the Pursuit Northwest non-denominational church praised Seattle police and said the department had been wonderful to work with. Wearing what appeared to be a red Make America Great Again hat, he led the crowd in a chant of SPD, SPD. So they're trying to like tie SPD to, oh, SPD loves the MAGA Trumpers. That's not what his hat said.
Nope.
He wore the hat in an interview on this show yesterday and wore it again. And by the way, there were a bunch of different versions of like red hats. I'm trying to remember exactly
prayer.
What it said.
Make prayer great
Make
again.
Make prayer
great again.
Make prayer great again.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, that should be a retraction. It's make prayer great again and then make common sense great again are our red hats. So the Seattle Times didn't even get close enough to like see what hat. And he was on stage a majority of the time. Big, bold letters, make prayer great again. Mm-hmm. Just insane.
And Ari's common sense hat got stolen for a bit and then found in the trash.
Yeah, somebody went and tracked it down. Somebody stole the hat that we gave Ari. Absolutely insane. I just don't even know what to say to the Seattle Times. Disgusting. You should be sued. I would encourage Pastor Johnson to sue them. I would encourage any other Mayday, whatever the thing is, sue them. If you are in the crowd and you're being characterized as a right-wing extremist Christian national, sue them. It's the only thing that's going to change this. I have never seen more disgusting reporting from the Seattle Times, and they weren't alone. They weren't alone. The coverage on the news was unhinged. It was a peaceful rally with Antifa hurting people outside of it, yelling at babies and stuff. F your kids. Un-freaking real. I just can't even believe it. So I don't know what you do with that. I mean, Mayor Harrell obviously has made a political calculation that, you know, it's one of the most unchurched cities in the nation. Offending the conservative Christians isn't going to be a bad thing for him. So he's more than happy to do it. And that's disgusting. And you're emboldening the far left, who hates you anyway, Mayor Harrell, by the way. The far left in the city hates you. They've always hated you. They say horrible things about you. You're not going to win them over. So who are you trying to placate? And instead of just saying, hey, this group has a right to be here. And if, you know, they're just sharing their Christian values, So as long as they don't hurt anybody, they're not doing anything wrong. How hard is that? Nope. Extremist Christian nationals. Absolutely insane. I don't even know what to say. Lawsuits have to happen. Sue. All right, we'll take a little break from this topic because coming up next, Governor Bob Ferguson has quietly vetoed one bill this session. One bill. And when I tell you which one, it's going to be very obvious why. First, our friend Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com is the guy that you want to go to if you're looking to sell your home. Wes has been in this market for a long time. He knows how to navigate market ups and downs. He knows what the market and buyers are demanding at any given moment. And so he's going to be able to help you, of course, get what every home seller wants, the most money possible out of their home. That might mean you have to make some cosmetic upgrades. If he thinks it's necessary, he's going to give you his honest opinion. But the good news is he can help manage all of that up front. You don't even have to pay for it for closing. So he's going to take as much stress out of the process as possible. And he's only going to suggest the things that you're going to get more money from on the back end. And also, if you reach out, so first start by going to sellwithwes.com, use their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. And then if you're interested, ask Wes for a free market analysis so he can tell you how he thinks your home will perform, sort of how other similar homes are performing, so you get a good idea going in. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. This is crazy. So Bob Ferguson only issued one full veto of a bill for this entire session. Hundreds of bills came across his desk. Now, he did some partial vetoes, but not the only one full veto. So this is from the Center Square. Ferguson vetoes bill to study cost drivers for home ownership and rental housing in Washington. Interesting. So this was a bill that had a ton of bipartisan support, which it has to have. I mean, it was a Republican bill, but it only passed because Democrats supported it as well. House Bill 1108, here's what it reads. The Washington State, so it would create a requirement that the Washington State Institute for Public Policy must conduct a study researching, analyzing, and determining to the extent practical the primary cost drivers for home ownership and rental housing in Washington State and produce a final report. So I know what you're thinking, like, well, you know, some of these studies and task forces are worthless anyway. And I tend to agree. I just think it's a little bit odd that we have so many of them studying so many different things. We spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on studies and task forces. There were many studies and task forces that Governor Bob Ferguson gladly signed into law this legislative session that didn't have bipartisan support. This one had bipartisan support and he vetoed it. I know you guys are smart enough and you're thinking the same damn thing I am. Why would Governor Ferguson veto a study to determine what's really causing high rents and a lack of housing affordability? Well, I have an opinion about it, but I thought I'd ask the bill's chief sponsor, State Representative Mark Clicker, a Republican representing the 16th district, why he thinks the governor vetoed his bill. Talk a little bit about what your hope was, because you told me you've been working on this for a couple of sessions now. It finally gets passed. What did you want out of it? What was the goal?
You know, this was not an ordinary task force bill. This bill took people, everyday people, that experience what's going on with unaffordable housing. Everything from contractors, developers, realtors, tenants, economists, utility districts, labor unions. I mean, the list goes on. And so many of these people wanted to be on the list. They wanted to participate in this bill and with this legislation. I introduced it last year. It made it out of the Housing Committee, but it didn't make it out of appropriations. So I redid it this year. I had Representative Peterson co-sponsor with me, and it made it all the way through to the governor's desk. But the thing is, instead of bureaucracy making a study like Commerce did here this last year, and it means nothing because they really don't understand it. But this would have made a huge difference. Then we know what we have. We're to the root of the problem, and we can start making some common sense legislation. And that's what's so cool about this bill. Well, the governor used the excuse that it, you know, financially it doesn't cut it because the fiscal note on it. Well, the fiscal note was probably right around $100,000 last year, This year, they changed it and they put it into Evergreen College and another study group and put it up to about 230 some thousand. But when you have a $9.5 billion tax year that they're going to do it and wasteful spending, he said that he's going to cut that. Yet he didn't cut any other or many of the other task force so forces. So, there you go.
Well, I am highly suspicious of motivations here because, again, like you said, I mean, we're spending billions of dollars on the housing issue, including to try to make housing more affordable. So if you could spend a little bit of money understanding better how to use those funds to actually help the problem, why would you not? Especially as you point out, when we have endless task forces looking into things. So what do you, I'm not saying that you're calling him a liar, but do you believe him when he says that his motivation was fiscal?
He's a man with empty promises. And that really is what it is. I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is. And he told us one thing when he did the State of the State address. He told us all these great things. It was really positive. But and the Democrats, they didn't like it and they're mad. They won't let his staff in the wings. Sometimes after a while you feel like you're being played. And this is a perfect example that he'll tell us one thing, but he's not following through with it. He isn't a fiscal conservative governor. He's doing the exact same thing. And when he uses that for a $200,000 study that would have actually had common sense legislation, what does that do for you? And so that's what we're up against. And I hate to say it, but I'm not going to be very nice about it because I think it was very senseless what the governor did.
Well, look, I have a theory. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, you don't have a choice because you're on my show. So I'm going to tell you what my theory is. I think he knows what the answer will be, and he doesn't want that answer to come to light in a bipartisan fashion. And I think the answer to why rents are so high and housing so high is government. It's the
Yep.
regulation, it's the taxation, and that is very clearly what's happening here. And that would go against things like rent control, which he's just signed into law. And I don't think that he wants any daylight on that. So I think that's the motivation for it. So what happens from here? Because again, a Republican bill doesn't get through unless Democrats support it. It had overwhelming bipartisan support. What do you have to do to override the veto?
Well, that will be the next, that'll be the $67,000 question. Will they even bring that up and override the veto? Now, what's so funny is that you nailed it. I mean, one party rule, at least in the governorship for over 40 years, and one party rule since what is it, 2002 in the House, and now the Senate's starting to catch up with their one party rule, and all that legislation is hindering and hurting the people in the state. Now, it's like the old saying of the frog and water, and that's exactly what happened. Our people do not understand it. If this bill would have passed and the results would have come out from this study, from the everyday person, the average Joe and the average Jill, and they would have come in and put out this report, boy, I'll tell you what, it would have made heads shake and heads turn. And that's what's going to happen. So, what are we going to do? Well, I'm not going to reintroduce the bill, another bill just like it next year, because we know we're going to be played. This bill, what was so funny, Brandy, is the last two non-budgetary bills that passed through the legislature on sine die were my two bills, my litter bill and this housing bill. I think the housing bill was the very last one. And then when I found out that the governor was reviewing that one after he signed everything else, I knew there was a good chance. Makes you kind of wonder, did they just kind of push this bill through? Another bill they had of mine, it was this cafe bill that would allow neighborhood cafes in. Well, they used that one. That one I believe was held hostage through negotiations. I hate to be, getting played so much, but I am upset because this one was a true blue, really good bill, and it would have done something. And so we'll have to see what happens on this override if we even do it, and we'll go from there.
So we'll see if they end up overriding it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's clearly nefarious motives. He knows exactly what a true study would show. That rents are too damn high because of things like rent control and overregulation, because of prohibiting landlords from properly screening tenants, which puts landlords in a situation where they're stuck with someone for months on end who's not paying rent. And so then when they finally get that person out, they've lost all this money and they need to raise rent for the next person. All these regulations they've put on builders that make permitting delays, that drive up the cost of building a home, which drives up the cost of buying a home. It's crazy when you think about it. One bill, the entire session, that the governor vetoed because he knows exactly what that study would show. And it would show that Democrats are responsible for the housing crisis that they claim to be trying to fix. And why? Why? I know, please, you're saying it already. We all think alike already. We got one mind. It's the industrial complex. The amount of money coming into the government over this is so much, and it funds all their ideological ventures, that they can't fix it. That's why they can't fix the homeless crisis, because there's so much money coming in to their cronies and their allies, so they can't possibly fix that. They can't fix the drug crisis. It makes them way too much money. They have to keep people in poverty, keep people on the streets, keep people addicted, and they can't fix the housing crisis either. It's insane stuff. So a little small thing that might have gone under the radar, but now you know about it, and you know that Democrats and the governor have no interest in getting to the bottom of the truth about the housing crisis. That segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Rental Housing Association of Washington. We've teamed up with RHA to make sure that small to mid-sized landlords know that they have someone who can help them navigate this absolute cluster F of a situation happening in Olympia. So if you're a small to mid-sized landlord, join the RHA today, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, in our segment Unbelievable today, the head of Washington State's public school system has been caught in a blatant lie. We have the receipts to prove it. We'll get to that segment first. If you're getting close to retirement, make sure that you get a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. I think given the way the markets have been going, you know, and look, I get it. I believe in Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean that it can't be a little bit scary if the stock market's going all over the place and you're getting close to retirement and you're like freaked out about it. So talk to our friend Zach Abraham. Get a second opinion. It's totally free. Do their free risk review. He's just going to take a look at your portfolio, give you his honest opinion about it, and you can do with that information what you wish. So schedule your free risk review now. KnowYourRiskRadio.com. KnowYourRiskRadio.com. It's like running your retirement portfolio through a department of retirement efficiency with our friend Zach. Okay, so Chris Reichdahl, the head of Washington State's public school system, is an absolute liar, and we have the receipts to prove it. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, so Chris Reichdahl, the superintendent of public instruction in Washington State, he's maybe feeling the heat a little bit from the Trump administration, which is, you know, levying all these threats about, you know, you need to stop DEI, you need to stop allowing boys to compete against girls, and our state is standing its ground and saying, no, we want boys to compete against girls, and we want to institute racism in our school system. So Chris Reichdahl did this long interview. I recommend watching the whole thing just because this guy has lost his mind. He did this entire interview with TVW, and we could have sat here and talked about it for an hour because there's so many gems in there, but I want to pick out a few things. First, his assertion that this trans locker room issue, it's just a figment of our imagination.
It's about engaging parents, and it's about schools understanding and then accommodating them with private spaces and all of that. And it isn't until this administration came and made it a national issue that suddenly people think there's a crisis. And, you know, they have this false sense that kids are in the wrong locker rooms, which just does not happen.
Does not happen. That's weird, because I could swear that we had a trans athlete on the show and asked them about that. Are you using the girls' locker rooms?
Yes, I am.
Weird. Okay, hold on now. So Chris Reichdahl said what?
They have this false sense that kids are in the wrong locker rooms, which just does not happen.
Are you using the girls' locker rooms?
Yes, I am.
And it isn't until this administration came and made it a national issue that suddenly people think there's a crisis and, you know, they have this false sense that kids are in the wrong locker rooms, which just does not happen.
Are you using the girls' locker rooms?
Yes, I am. That's all I've ever used. Like, throughout middle school, it's all I've ever used. That junior high, that's what I used. High school.
They have this false sense that kids are in the wrong locker rooms, which just does not happen.
It doesn't happen. You guys, it does not happen. Even if the biological boy who's using the girls' locker room tells us it's absolutely happening, according to Chris Reichdahl, it doesn't happen, so we should just blindly believe him. So why is he saying things like this that are so easily disproven? Well, one, he knows most people will just blindly accept what he has to say as truth, just like TVW didn't push back at all, and be, I don't know, equipped with some examples of the fact that, no, this actually is happening, and yes, you know, girls are losing to boys. Can't do that, can't push back against an elected official who you have on your show. But the other reason is he's fundraising off of this. He just put out a fundraising email. It's really long, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Where he says, friends and fellow education champions, it's been a wild ride since November. Our progress is under threat. And he goes into all these Orange Man bad, TDS, blah, 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 blah. And then he says this. Sadly, standing up for what is right has turned out to be dangerous. The verbal attacks and threats of violence against me are ramping up and getting more specific. Those with mega rage want me and you to back down. We can't. The stakes are too high. And I just truly believe that even most conservatives want high-quality public schools where teachers are empowered to teach and local voters get to decide who leads their schools. That's really interesting because, yes, we do. Yes, we do want high-quality public schools. Yes, we do want teachers empowered to teach. Yes, we do want on the local level to decide who gets to lead our schools. And a lot of local schools don't want you to lead it. And you are certainly not giving us high-quality public schools because our schools are worse off than they've ever been before from an academic and enrollment perspective. And yes, we do want teachers who are empowered to teach. Academics, not teach the kind of things that you want them to teach. Ideology, racism. This guy has no self-awareness whatsoever. And what is mega rage? What's mega rage? What does that look like? Parents saying, hey, I want to have a say in my kids' education and their lives? Is that mega rage?
Yeah, I don't know, because I would think he's the one with mega rage.
He's got mega rage. Also, like, what is mega rage? Saying, hey, boys shouldn't be competing against girls? If that's mega rage, I guess I have a severe case of mega rage.
Rage because their daughters are losing scholarships because boys are winning their sports?
That sounds like mega rage to me. So that's just ridiculous. And he's trying to paint himself as some hero standing up for what's right. And he's not doing that at all. And he's lying in the process and he'll get away with it. But then he had this answer on test scores. So the host did ask him about test scores and then just let Chris Reichdahl get away with twisting what's happening. Because, well, it's like 2 minutes, right? Let me just play this and we'll talk about everything that's wrong with it on the back end.
Another narrative is that we're plowing more and more money into education and getting worse and worse results, or not getting the results, the kind of comparable results that should be gotten. The Manhattan Institute report card, annual report card, says the No Child Left Behind era saw gains, particularly amongst disadvantaged students. Those gains reversed under Common Core, further eroded after the Every Student Succeeds Act of 2015, and sort of lay out this narrative of declining performance over time. And then in a state like Washington, where we've ramped up spending, notwithstanding the conversation we just had about kind of where we're at right now. But again, how do you respond to that?
Big context, right? Common Core comes in, it's controversial. It's actually decent standards. Most of the states, ours included, had some improvement. It came just a couple years before the onslaught of social media and the total decline of global scores. And so, you know, what I'm going to tell you is put it in context. The purpose of an education system is to prepare kids for the next step. I think the fact that college remediation rates continue to decline says that we're doing a pretty damn good job here in the state, but there are definitely some students who struggle. But again, you got to look at the larger context and understand that the school system we went to is very different than the one that kids are going to today. So I want to keep preparing kids for what they need, not what we thought was the gold standard, which candidly was getting every kid university prep ready. I want them all to have that chance. But for the student who does not want a literature course their senior year because they know they want to go run heavy equipment for 100 grand a year, I want that kid to load up on all the career and tech ed courses they want. And if there are people who say, but that student didn't get a high enough score in literature or literacy, that's been our economy for 240 years. It's only recently that we've quantified that and told a bunch of kids that they're failures. But the performance isn't any different. In fact, it's probably better because we see more kids take math, science, and English all the way through their senior year than any time in our history. So they're taking the rigorous coursework at levels we've never seen before, but we've introduced this test in the last two decades, and we drew a line and said everyone who doesn't get to that line is a failure. I think it's damaging, and there's a better system.
So would you ditch the tests?
I would ditch the test in a heartbeat, the federally mandated test, but we're still going to need assessment.
Yeah.
So there's a way to do that by saving millions of dollars by sampling kids so we get student groups assessed, we understand districts and geographies that aren't performing well. But there's a way to save money. We spend $1.5 billion in this country every year on a standardized test that tells us that kids in poverty struggle more than kids who have a lot of wealth. How many more years are we going to do that?
Until you fix the problem. Until you fix the problem. What an unhinged lunatic. And first, let's all agree on one thing. If the test scores were high, do you believe he would be saying get rid of the tests? Not in a million years. If the test scores weren't failing across the board in reading, writing, arithmetic, would he say let's ditch those tests? No, he'd be on the news bragging about the test scores. So it's very convenient for him, since test scores are in the toilet, to say, well, those tests are worthless anyway. And the last time he agreed to do an interview with me, I told him that exact thing, and he acknowledged, yeah, you're probably right. I should go back and I should find that. So, I mean, just reading into that answer. So, first of all, it's everyone's fault but his, even though he asked for this job to be in charge of public schools. Social media made kids dumber. These kids aren't the way we were. So we can't expect them to live up to the gold standard that we set for ourselves. So we should just let them dictate their own education. Get rid of tests and let the kid tell you what kind of classes the kid needs. So the kid says, what, ninth grade? I want to run heavy machinery. So let's let them take a heavy machinery class instead of anything else. Okay, well, what if they change their mind? What if the kid says, I don't want to go to college, and then they change their mind, and now all of a sudden they're not ready for college, and you've set them up to fail? There's a reason why you have to standardize some of these things. And look, I don't think tests are the end-all be-all either. I don't think that preparing kids for college is necessarily preparing them for life. I think there's a lot of nuance in this conversation. But to say, because you're failing in all these areas, that we should change the way that we judge failure just reflects on you as a leader, and it does not reflect well. He also dismissed questions about the amount of money that we're putting into education. You know, and I won't play that whole answer because it's what you think it would be. It's a bunch of word soup, but it's pointed out that we spend more money on education than ever before, and we have worse results than ever before, and enrollment is declining and attendance is declining. Oh, well, you know, we're not spending, we need to get rid of the tests, and that's the whole problem. No, it's not. Like, you're letting teachers focus on things other than academics. You're pushing DEI, radical gender ideology, and this notion that no kid can fail. And, you know, math is racist. And then you act surprised that our outcomes are so poor. And you blame Trump, you know, again, social media, whatever it is. You blame everyone but yourself. And you are, and I, it's not even just me saying that. Remember, the Seattle Times editorial board said that before the primary election, that he just won't take accountability for anything. Absolutely nuts. We should do a sampling instead of tests. We should do a sampling of students. What students do you think they're going to pick for that sampling? And this whole notion that we've been doing these tests for so long just to show us that students in poor areas perform worse than students in rich areas, you're actively making that worse. What do you think the school choice fight is about? It's about that very issue, because only rich people can afford to send their kids to private school where they're going to get a better education in some instances. And you're saying we don't want to give school choice or vouchers. which would allow a kid from a poor family to get the same quality education as a kid from a wealthy family, and you're saying no because you're so beholden to the union. Not to mention, you guys just passed the ability of local school districts to raise more money from local tax levies, which Republicans told you would do what? It would lead to disproportionate outcomes, even worse than we're seeing now, for poor communities versus rich communities. Why is that? Because as an example, both school districts can pass a, 1% levy. That 1% is a hell of a lot more money in a place like King County, where what, the average home value is $1 million? Than it is in a rural, poor county. They're going to get virtually no money. So you're complaining about a problem that you say we've known about for a long time, but that you're actively making worse. This guy is a clown. I'm sorry. I know my show's called Undivided, but how can I be unifying with these absolute clowns? You don't care about kids. You care about the teachers' union, and you care about saving your own ass. Nicole?
No, I absolutely agree. And I think that it's interesting that he says, in high school, if they're not going to go on to college, then we'll just give them other, tech classes and stuff. Knowledge is power, right? And they want to take that away. They want kids to not be as educated because you're telling them that it's not necessary to have a 12th grade education. You can stop at 9th grade and just take tech courses or whatever you want. Like, you're not saying don't go to college, but every kid should be at least ready to go into college. That should be the goal with high school, is to get you to a 12th grade education. I don't understand his reasoning there. They don't need to pass tests in 12th grade if they're not going to college. Of course they do. They need to be at least a 12th grade education.
Yes. And also,
it's insane.
This whole, the tests have a different purpose too. Mm-hmm. It's about, can you be given a goal and meet a goal? Right. Can you retain information? How well is your problem solving? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other reasons for tests besides just can you graduate knowing how to do a mathematical equation? It's like, no, are you capable of learning information and absorbing information that's taught to you and paying attention and doing the homework and meeting standards? And those are standards you're going to have to meet in the real world. They're going to be different types of standards, but you're still going to have to meet goals. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to meet expectations, or you're never going to be gainfully employed. This guy is insane, and it bums me out that you've got members of the media who'll get that much time with him and not push back and not have the information in front of him to say, actually, boys are using the girls' locker room. Are you okay with that? Actually, we're spending more money, lower test scores. You celebrated test scores when they were high, all this stuff. It's just absolutely insane.
Are you saying that a child, somebody that graduates high school doesn't need to know English in 12th grade?
Then let's get rid of the classes, if that's what you're saying. Because I guarantee every single student would opt themselves right out of it.
Well, a lot of them would. I'm sure some parents would not allow it, hopefully.
You guys, absolutely not.
It's really wild. It's really, but it kind of goes, if you talk about how many kids that are going to college are voting liberal, because that's where they're getting it even more indoctrinated, right? Yeah. So he's like, let's just let those kids get smart, and let's let those trade kids stop at 9th grade. In education, it's really wild. I mean, you really do see this joint effort to really dumb down society, let government lead, and it's really crazy.
Yeah, they're train the next Democrats of America. As long as they leave high school being Democrats, then we've succeeded. Mm-hmm. Insane. Mm-hmm. Insane. All right. In national news, speaking of higher education, we're going to talk a little bit about the Trump administration's handling of Harvard and some areas of disagreement I have there. First, you could be our next First Mark Challenge victory. We could be talking about you right here on Undivided. I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. We all need insurance. The question is, do you have the right insurance? And do you have that insurance at the right price? And is it the insurance that's going to be enough to cover you in the event the unthinkable happens? Because if it's not, then what's the point? Our friend Brock Heward, a former UW quarterback, sports host, says that his family took the First Mark Challenge. It was a great thing to do.
The word that comes to my mind is a word I use a lot on my sports show, and that is connective tissue. It's important in team building. It's important as players in a locker room to be connected to others. And when it comes to insurance, it's so complicated. It's so stressful. You just don't even want to deal with it. And that is where the connective tissue of having a pro, having a broker, having a partner, and most of all, having a teammate like First Mark Insurance, it was the best connective tissue we could find.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when it comes to that analogy, I'm like the bench warmer with my insurance. I do virtually nothing. First Mark does all the work. They score all the points. They keep the team together, and I just sit on the bench because I just don't, you know, I why would I have to worry about it if First Mark's going to worry about my insurance for me, you know? FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Take the First Mark challenge today. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. Okay, in some national news, so we haven't talked much about the Trump administration's actions against Harvard. So there's a new one today, but just to give it a little context. So, of course, the news came out, like, I think last week that the Trump administration, this from Reuters, blocks Harvard from enrolling foreign students, threatens broader crackdown, which is a huge deal for Harvard. A large chunk of their student body is from a different country. And so under this action from the Trump administration, it would mean that these foreign students either have to go back home or get accepted into another college or university. And this, according to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, is sort of the punishment for what they say is the university fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party, because there's this concern that there's a bunch of Chinese spies going to school in Harvard. And of course, Harvard has done very little to combat the anti-Semitism, to do away with DEI, etc. So this is the Trump administration saying, hey, there are consequences for not doing what we say. And so we're going to oust all these foreign students and send them back home if they can't find enrollment elsewhere. Now, I disagree with that decision. I think that there's a lot of talent that would come to this country from other places. Like, would I love, you know, to have all these this homegrown talent and all this stuff? Yeah, but then, like, look what Elon Musk, you know, brought to this country from somewhere else. And so I think to just say to all these foreign students, many of whom have done nothing wrong, haven't engaged in the anti-Semitism, you know, aren't racist against white people, aren't spies of the Chinese Communist Party, I don't think that's fair to them. I don't think it makes Harvard a better place to get rid of all the international students. Now, I hope Harvard sort of buckles and does what needs to be done in order to keep these students there. Now, yeah, if there's some students who they suspect are Chinese spies, like, we need to root those students out. And maybe you say you can't have students from China at Harvard. I don't know what the answer is. I still think that's kind of unfair. So I don't agree with that decision. I said that the day the Trump administration came out. Now, I do agree with, however, so they want to continue to put the screws to Harvard. So this came out today. Trump administration moves to cut 100 million, actually, I think it was yesterday, 100 million in federal contracts for Harvard. So in addition to saying, hey, we're not going to allow you to have foreign students enrolled, which will really hurt Harvard's standing globally and also cost them a bunch of money, we're looking to cancel these contracts. So what do you want to do with $100 million? Well, here's what Donald Trump says he wants to do with it.
Look, Harvard has been a disaster. They've taken $5 billion plus. $5 billion. Nobody knew that they were making this kind. If we didn't do this, nobody would have. We would have never found this out, Pam. They're taking $5 billion. And I'd rather see that money go to trade schools. And by the way, they're totally anti-Semitic at Harvard, as you know, and some other colleges, too, in all fairness to them. And it's been exposed, very exposed. And I think they're dealing very badly. Every time they fight, they lose another $250 million. Yesterday, we found another $100 million.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with him. I think that if you're going to, that's a great use of the money. If you're going to take it from Harvard, put it into trade schools. You know, we just had that conversation. I'm all for people, by the way, going to trade schools as opposed to going to college. I don't even think I should have gone to college. I wish I hadn't have. I don't think you learn journalism. And in today's environment, they're not training real journalists. They're training mouth propaganda pieces for the Democrats. So I love that idea. I just, you know, I don't agree with some of the broader punishments toward Harvard. And the question is sort of, what do you do if they're not listening? I agree with taking away their money. Harvard doesn't need that much money from the government. There are a lot of wealthy kids whose parents will give Harvard a bunch of money if Harvard will enroll them. I mean, that's where they get the endowments, the donations from parents who want their kids to go there, and then from former students. They get enough money. They don't need that much money from the government. So I think that's a little bit ridiculous. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll if you agree with the Trump administration's decision to revoke what is actually called the Student and Exchange Visitor Program certification. Nicole, what do you disagree with me?
Agree with me? I would say I'm cool with it as a strategy here. I think everything's strategic, and I agree there that they have to, you know, do where they can, and this is what they have control over.
Yeah. So. And but do you think that the White House is willing to go through with it to send every single foreign student home from Harvard?
I believe that they don't want to.
Yeah.
I think they probably could, but I mean, I hope that they can figure out something in the interim, I guess. I don't know. I feel like this is not something they want to do. They just want Harvard to take them seriously.
Yeah.
So just take them seriously already.
Yeah. And I do agree that a lot of things Trump does are strategic. Right. Like, do we want to carry this out? No. But you have to have people believe you will.
Right.
Or else your word means nothing.
And I don't think it's the worst thing for more American children to get into Harvard, because it's hard to get in because they let a lot of foreign students in. And so I don't think it's the worst thing to let a lot more American children in, I guess.
Especially if you're white and straight, you're not getting into Harvard.
Right.
You're not getting in. People agree with you more than me. Okay, that's fine. Has to happen once in a while. Most people saying yes, they agree with the tactic. Tony says yes, but it's nuanced. Trump does things by shouting and shooting. He could have been one third as confrontational and still would have been plenty, but Harvard had it coming. Katie says, part of me wanted to vote no because unfortunately there are students who will be affected who don't deserve to be, but I feel that student visas are like invitations to a party in someone's home. If you show up and want to attack and criticize the host, you're going to be shown the door. And Harvard has shown a willful lack of protection for certain populations of its students, like Jewish American students. But I also question the amount of time being spent on protests versus class and study by some of the foreign students. Didn't they come here to get an education or attack the country that kindly invited them to come here and study? Yes, I agree with a lot of that. And I agree with, by the way, if they're engaged in conduct that would get another student expelled, they should be expelled. So if you have a student code of conduct and a foreign student is violating that code of conduct, maybe they're participating in anti-Semitism, then you should expel them. And the punishment for that will be that they lose their student visa. And I think that's perfectly appropriate. But I just think you're going to capture kids who did nothing wrong, worked hard, who want to come to the United States and study here and bring their time and talents here. And I don't agree with sending them all away. Let me see here. Han, yes, because we have anti-Americans coming in and indoctrinating others. That's dangerous. Hitler went to Germany and convinced people Jewish people are the problem. That's happening now with people we don't know coming here. Gen X, send money and research dollars to the state schools, fund the have-nots, not a school with a $50 billion plus endowment, is what I'm talking about, and plagiarizing professors and a president. They failed to comply with information asked for by Homeland Security. All right, locals. CND Voss says, having foreign students is a privilege, not a right, as is federal funding for programs and or research. Why should taxpayers' funds go to an institution that has shown, in my opinion, that it does not value the ideals enshrined in our Constitution? And we'll end with Weisscastle says, Brandy, Trump plays the cards that he has. There is a lot of evidence the foreign exchange students are leading some of these radical protests. I agree with that. But I do think that you identify the ones that are, and those are the ones that you remove. I'm very worried about just, you know, kids who were born somewhere else, who earned their right to come here, being caught up in it. But that's okay. I welcome your disagreement from, oh, look, my little thing is upside down today.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, why didn't anybody tell me?
Wow, nobody mentioned it.
You know,
it.
When a flag is upside down, that's a sign of distress.
Uh-oh.
Help me. Help me. Help. Help me. Nicole's holding me hostage. I didn't want to come to work today.
So nice out.
I know. You know what we should do? We should go get some food on a deck after this.
It's not a bad idea.
You don't want to, do you?
I have plans, but you could come with me to go get food on a deck.
No, that's fine. I don't need friends. I don't need to do anything. That's fine. I'll just go home by myself. All right. We'll get to some comments. You know who I met last night?
Who?
Baron of Gray Matter.
Me too.
Oh my God. I love meeting people in real life based on their handles. Yeah, I met Baron of Gray Matter. He was very nice. Cynthia Martin, $10 super chat. Thank you. But they are about love and inclusion. Just look what they did to Ari and his friend. Look at what they did to the family with kids that were there that came late. Nothing but love and inclusion, my ass. Brandy, your speech rocked. Thank you. Yeah, I did push out the, I was only going to speak for a minute. That's what I told him. But the crowd, they got into so many chants. They love chanting.
They do.
So it turned into a longer speech. You know what I also loved about it? You know, it's the they play music behind you while you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a total vibe. You know, because they do that in church. So you feel very like, oh, wow. They're giving me a soundtrack. So if you watched the video and thought I put that music under it, no, they were playing it live. Yeah. And they play it and they react to like moments. I was like, wow, you guys are really talented musicians. it was just interesting.
Make sure they couldn't hear anything outside the
gates. You too. Could not hear Antifa at all. I got over to one of the corners and kind of heard them chanting like, fascists, go home. And then they just kept chanting that. And I'm like, they can't.
Yeah.
Can't hear you.
Nobody cares. I was like,
they're so defeated. I had somebody ask what's on my wrist. I go to you guys for medical advice, and somebody suggested I probably have low iron, low ferritin levels, and that's why my RLS has been so bad. So I ordered a little kit based on multiple pieces of advice. I tested my ferritin. I'm waiting for the results. But in the meantime, I thought, why don't I just throw some iron patches on in case that is it? It's not going to harm me if it's not it.
Have you been
sleeping
better?
So I shouldn't have. I meant to take it off. I've only been wearing it for 2 days.
Okay.
But I slept pretty good last night, but we also had a lot of Ventra last night. So I figured that was part of it. So sorry, I'm not like, this isn't a nicotine patch, but I also shouldn't be wearing it because then people will start to question what I have a patch for.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
You're welcome. Rick, Brandy, great job last night. Thank you, Rick. Such shameful behavior in opposition. Does Ari have a means of being supported in his work, having his voice heard? I know you say her, but detransitioned, his now. You could probably follow Ari on X, and I know Ari pushes out a bunch of stuff. I think it's Transphobe01. Is that Ari's handle? I think it is. Yeah, Transphobe01, which is funny. Okay, Felicia Morris. We are living in truly evil times where a group of people who are trans, LGBTQ, whatever activists can't agree that kids shouldn't be included in their lifestyle. You know, I should have played it. Maybe I'll play it on the show tomorrow. I had an interesting like 15-minute conversation with a transgender person. And to me, it just showed that like there's no nuance for them. Like, they basically believe that being Christian means that you think trans people should be erased. And there's no convincing them otherwise. It was a very, like, eye-opening.
It was interesting because I was standing next to Ari during some of the church. That's when we were speaking, things like that. And he said, these people wouldn't have wanted me here a year ago. And I was like, yes, they would.
They wouldn't have cared.
I was like, I think that's the thing, is the media is telling you that these people don't agree with you, so they don't want you here.
Yeah.
But I was like, absolutely. They want everybody there. And that's the thing, is like we were talking about, people are like, why are they going in? Like, they know what they're getting. Yeah. But I said yesterday, this is what religious groups do. I mean, they go into places that they think need them. Yeah. And that's just, I mean, that's been happening for hundreds of years now. Yeah,
they never would have. One Antifa member could have walked in. They wouldn't have surrounded them and beat them up.
No.
That's what Antifa does.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
They want to share their message.
Yeah.
That's the whole goal.
I also had this fascinating conversation as I was leaving. This woman was standing there with some man, and she just whispers under her breath to me as I walk by, trans kids have a right to grow up. And I said, I agree. And my security guard wanted to say, like, so did the children you aborted. But I was like, well, I'm technically pro-choice, but that would have been a good retort. But I said, oh, I agree. And she said, well, the religious group you're part of doesn't. And I said, I'm actually not religious. I'm not part of that group. And she said, well, why were you there? And I said, I'm there to support free speech. And she just malfunctioned. I was like, she absolutely malfunctioned. Kathy, those that scream at innocent babies apparently know the masked cowards who screamed at and verbally berated the obviously disabled elderly people exiting the Riley Gaines event at UW. Yeah, these people are horrible. President America says the Seattle Times headlines prove their accountability toward Governor Ferguson is smoke and mirrors. Yeah, they're unhinged. SAAUCE with a $20 super chat for Mega Rage. Ooh, Mega Rage.
He's Cynthia, funding rage.
Cynthia, I guess. Okay, Cynthia says, I need a minute to just digest all that BS. Yeah, me too. Which is why I was going to ask Nicole if she wanted to go sit out on a deck somewhere and get some food. But
I'm in.
No, you said you had too. Plans.
Well, but they can meet us there.
I don't know. I don't know who you're going to meet. What if I don't like them? Kathy, all of these large colleges need to put rules in place on protesting and have consequences if done, and maybe some vetting of the foreign students. Look, I'm for protesting on college campuses. That's fine. This is America. Protest on college campuses. It's always been part of our higher education system. But there's a lot of room between a protest and what's been happening at places like UW and Harvard. And so if you're doing something that violates a student code of conduct, then you should be kicked off campus. You think that if white students were wearing KKK hoods and marching around threatening to hang black people, that they would call that free speech? Of course not. But you can threaten Jewish students. You can be at the Riley Gaines event and tell people who support Riley Gaines that you want to see them hanging from a tree and their blood spattered on the sidewalk. And that's free speech? Come on now. Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. I just get frustrated because I can't do anything about the stupidity. Michelle, I can't believe anyone with morals would allow this, Seattle mayor. These people are disturbing, disgusting, and should all be behind bars. Media and government should be ashamed. I don't even go to Seattle, let alone spend money there. Anything to not support that city.
It's pretty sad that he's only had these little statements from his, I don't know what she is, the media person or whoever.
Jamie, he's yeah. his boy, yeah.
Or, yeah. I don't know what the position yeah. is, but he has said nothing.
Not in his own words.
Not yeah. in his own words. He hasn't owned any reaction. Mm-hmm. He's been silent on Twitter all week, like since I think last
Doesn't
early
that tell you the pressure,
week.
Though, that so, he has to be feeling pressure?
Well, it's just obnoxious because if you were there watching these people down on the steps of the City Hall, you would not call them any of the names no. that you've called them.
You'd feel so stupid doing it because you'd be like, wow, these yeah. people are having such a good time.
And look at those maniacs out there.
It's insane. They all it's know crazy. That they're morally bankrupt, but they care more about politics than anything else. Mm-hmm. Angie McBride says that Reverend Erica Williams, who like assaulted people and got in the way of the baby and accused me of having cheek fillers and fake hair, went to Harvard Divinity School.
Thought that was interesting.
Yeah, which also, why have... So Antifa used to just like... They used to be better at insults. And now what? They're really reaching. Like, what was the one the other day that I was laughing about? Oh, people were accusing me of being on Ozempic. I was mm-hmm. like, that's a thank you. I've lost so much weight. You think I'm on Ozempic? And then she said, my cheeks, nobody's cheeks look like that. You know, they were calling me Botox Barbie with cheek fillers. I was like, thank you. Here I thought yeah. I was aging poorly. And you're telling me that my cheekbones are so nice. You think I have fillers. And then really obviously, reaching. It didn't surprise me when she said she thought I was wearing a wig because, like, we already know my hair is fantastic. So I was like, yeah, I get that one. That one I'll let you Fair. Slide. Yeah, funny. Crazy. Krista.
Yeah, they're really reaching for the
They
digs.
Are. You can do better than that. Yeah. You can do better than that. Krista, did he just blame social media for declining test scores and then say that the school is doing a good job? I don't remember drinking yet today. Yeah, it would make more sense if we were drunk, wouldn't it? JJ Beck, we don't need Ferguson's approval to study the cost of housing and rent in Washington State. An independent study can be done by people in the business and volunteers. Do the study, publish the study, bombard social media with the study, then force the Democrats to dispute the study. They won't be able to dispute the study because they won't have the data. Oh, but they make up data. They made up data when it came to police pursuits, so they won't listen to anything. They just don't care. Let me see. Baron of Gray Matter, $5 super chat. Pleasure meeting you and Nicole at the rally. I really needed to see what was going on both sides. Can I share the pic of you two? Of course. Of course you can. And then SAA Usi says, Brandy for governor 2028. Flush the turd. Yeah. You can only call Bob Ferguson Turd Ferguson if you give us $19.99 in a super chat, yeah. which you did. So adorable, deplorable. Just want to tell you, I'm grateful for you, the whole Undivided team today. Thank you. That's so, so nice. I woke up feeling good because Nicole will tell you, I didn't want to over-exaggerate my concern, but I really had a lot of anxiety yesterday.
It was giving me anxiety.
And Nicole's like, I don't know. I'm freaked out that you're so freaked out. but SP did a good job. Everything went off as good as can be expected. You can't control the Antifa nut jobs. All you can do is arrest them and hope that somebody prosecutes them and that they learn a lesson and that their mommy and daddy see them on TV and they say, hey, this isn't what we taught you. You know, we're going to withhold your, what do you call it when a parent dies and they leave you a bunch of money? Inheritance from you.
Yeah.
You got to go to school, you know, your trust fund. Anyway, okay, good stuff. Nicole, thank you. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. I wanted to keep it simple today just because I think you guys are feeling like I'm feeling about the whole situation with the Christians in Seattle. And I want to replay a cut we played earlier because I think it solidifies why we're all doing, and I include you in this, why we're doing what we're doing, why we're trying to restore common sense and sanity, why we're trying to get people to look past political party and ideology, because really it's about right and wrong. That's all it's about. It's not about party. It's not about politics. It's not about ideology. It's about knowing the difference between right and wrong. And there were very clearly people who knew the difference between right and wrong and people who didn't know the difference between right and wrong last night. And I go back to the crowd shouting at parents with little kids. So we know what side we're on. We're on the side that doesn't shout at babies. We're on the side that doesn't scream at and intimidate families and peaceful protesters. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And I think that's why you're here too, is we want to see a return to common sense, a return to sanity, a lowering of the temperature. And it only happens when we're able to expose the extremists, the true extremists, and the violence and the radical ideologies of the other side. That has been your sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. She's Nicole Thompson. The cat picture is good. One more day with a cat picture, then we'll put your picture back up. If you want to sign up to support the show, right now we have a promo going on. We have a goal of reaching 300 new paid subscribers in 30 days. We're about a third of the way there. So if you'd like to sign up and haven't already, it's just $5 a month. And with the 30% off promo, it's even less than that. So go to patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. And then use the promo 300, just the number 300, and you'll get 30% off an entire year of Undivided. And we would absolutely appreciate the support. I think that's it. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.